I appreciate you being here today. Let me just give you one concrete example, not anecdotal, but concrete example of what we believe to be valid voter fraud in the state of Pennsylvania. I draw your attention to an obituary listed for one Denise Ondish in Allegheny County, born 9/10/1946, deceased 10/22/2020. Her application to vote was received on 10/23, the day after she died. It was then mailed by the county back to her on 10/24/2020, 2 days after she had legally passed away. And the ballot was then received back at the county office on November 2nd, 2020. And when you go to the Secretary of State's website today, it says that she voted in this election, effective November 2nd, 2020, a full 9 days after Ms. Ondish of Allegheny County passed away. This is not empirical. This is not anecdotal. This is hard evidence. And if you do your jobs from the media, I'm sure you'll find additional examples. And this will be one of many that we will be filing with the court. Thank you very much.
Also, when you say that there's no evidence, the people standing behind me are called witnesses. They will eventually, soon hopefully, appear in court and give this testimony, because we're going to file a federal lawsuit that will cover here and Pittsburgh, and we will have as many witnesses as the court needs. Right now it could be as many as 90 witnesses. That's called evidence that there was a uniform deprivation of the right to inspect, which constitutes a fraud on the people of Pennsylvania, constitutes a fraud on all legitimate voters. Any illegitimate vote cancels a legitimate vote.
Greetings and blessings, faithful followers of bbtemple.org worldwide. Wow. Praise God, it appears that there is life after death, at least in Pennsylvania. But seriously, folks, suffice to say, our election, November 3rd, appears to be far from over indeed. But how are we as Christians to react? And how are we to respond? I am so glad that you asked. Full disclosure, this Bible study is a flashback to this date in 2015, when we did this very same study on the very same day, different year, entitled Fighting the Good Fight. And appears as if the fight's not over. So we're going to use this today in the hopes that it will be an encouragement to all of us to keep fighting. Amen. All right. So let's look at our scripture today. It's found in the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy. O holder of the clicker, change that slide, and you should see in front of your very eyes a scripture. In fact, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, we are reading from the New American Standard. That's what NASU stands for those of you who don't know. That is one that I like, one certainly I used in seminary. So it is well-regarded. But whatever version you're using, use it, okay? And it reads, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Amen. Amen. Okay, being a Bible study, we want to, study a couple things, context and so forth. So this particular letter written by the Apostle Paul after his release from prison in Rome, 62 AD. Now at the time of 2 Timothy, it's in contrast to he's had two imprisonments. In contrast to his first imprisonment when he lived in a quote-unquote rented house, he now, at the writing of 2 Timothy, is languishing. What is languishing? I mean, you're not doing really well. How about rotting away? That had worked too. He is now languished in a cold dungeon, and he is chained like a common criminal. His friends even had a hard time finding out where he was being kept. But Paul knew that his work was done and that his life was nearly at an end. So, what do we know about, you know, what are some of the reasons that he's writing this? Well, and again, I'm sharing some Bible notes from Biblica.com. One of those many, many study things that are just so openly available to us for free when we're doing our own Bible study. So please use them always. From good sources, you want to have good sources. Of course, everybody has the opinion, but you certainly want to look upon some things that are, you know, maybe have a little bit more, you know, authority, if you would. We knew that Paul was lonely. We knew he was concerned about the welfare of the churches. During this time, it's a time of persecution. Under Nero, Nero treated Christians horribly. Won't get into detail. I think Beloved elaborated on that last week. But he wanted to write to the Ephesian church through his letter. He just wanted to encourage, right? Don't we all need a little encouragement? Now the next term, the word that we're looking at, agonizomai. This is something we can all identify with a little bit, right? The origin of the word is found in the culture of the citizen state of Sparta. And a lot of it, this is talking back to in Sparta. The infant males were separated life after birth, separated from their families. And they were, up until the age of 7, put into some pretty extreme training, warrior training in the wilderness. And that's sort of what he is referring to here. It's the Koine Greek of the New Testament, agonizomai. It simply means to strive, to fight, and to labor fervently. Fighting as if it were for your life. And I believe that we really need as Christians always to be encouraged that, you know, we're in a fight. We're in the fight of our lives, if you will. And that we are not to give up. And there's nothing unusual about what you're going through. In fact, it's really strengthening us for what lies ahead. So, anybody out there going through a little agonizomai? I am. Well, the good news is that sharing that agonizomai really helps to lighten the load. So, oh, holder of the clicker, whomever you might be, please let us have you change that slide. Now, there's a question should appear before our eyes, and it's simply this. So, what's the good fight that you are fighting? And how can we help lighten your load? Now, last time we did this, I was there in person, and we broke into groups and we discussed it. Not having that opportunity, we're going to have to, you know, make adjustments for this wonderful year, 2020. We've had to make quite a few adjustments, have we not? And because I am doing this, of course, in advance, I'm going to wrap it up first, then allow you an opportunity to share amongst yourselves afterwards. All right, and just simply, again, ask each other, break into pairs. If we don't have a large enough group, sometimes it's pretty sparse. Just talk amongst yourselves. And here is the question again. What can we do? What can we do to help you? What can we do to help? That's what we should always be about. How are we to help each other through our sufferings, right? That's why we're here. Newsflash. But I simply want to wrap it up with a bit of a chuckle. Lighten your load. Here, I'm doing my part to lighten your load with a picture that we took while we actually got out and about. Yes, really. I'm going to have you, holder of the clicker, please, for the last time, change that slide. And here you should see my smiling face. I think the photo talk speaks for itself. I know we have some with visual impairment, so I'm simply going to describe to you what we saw in the alley on the way home after I had voted, and it was someone, it wasn't me, someone had thrown out all their Biden paraphernalia, and it was in a big stack on the curb next to the trash bags. I'm sorry, I couldn't pass it up. It was too good. So I thought I'd share with you a little bit, the little photo, bring a smile to your face and help you be encouraged that the fight is not over yet. And just because we're in the season of Thanksgiving, I am so extremely thankful that we live in a place where we are still, at the moment, free to disagree. We're free to disagree, amen? So let's leave it at that. So let us, if you would, I'm going to close with a little prayer of thanksgiving in the next verse. Of course, a lot of times we're studying a verse, and when he wrote this particular passage, I don't think he really envisioned us, you know, a millennia later, doing a Bible study like this and picking out little parts of it. It's written, it's a letter, and it was meant to all go together. So, of course, we're studying verse 7. But look, keep going, keep going. Verse 8, in the future is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. All. That includes you. That includes me. Praise God. That's something to be thankful for. So, good peeps, keep fighting the good fight and keep letting your light shine. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you to live in a country where, though it gets ugly, we are still free, at least for the time being, and I pray into the future to have a say in what goes on in our government. And yet we know that these things will pass away. The thing that does not pass away is your word. And that's what I pray all of us are able to keep our hearts, our minds, on that which does not pass away and does not change every 4 years, every 4 minutes. And that is you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the gift of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gives us, should be giving us some extreme hope through this extremely challenging year. And knowing, Lord, it's all, there's a purpose. there's something waiting for us if we keep pressing forward, if we don't give up. Laid up for us is that crown of righteousness. So, Heavenly Father, give us the wisdom, give us the courage, give us the strength to keep fighting that good fight, not for our glory, but for yours, Lord. We praise you and thank you in the holy name of Christ Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen.